Okay, good evening and welcome to the November 19, 2025 meeting of the San Francisco Board of Appeals. President John Trizvino will be the presiding officer tonight, and he is joined by Commissioner Rick Swig and Commissioner Rebecca Saroyan. Vice President Jose Lopez is absent this evening. Also present is Deputy City Attorney Jesse Minardi, who will provide the board with any needed legal advice. At the controls is the board's legal assistant, Alec Longway, and I'm Julie Lamar, the board's executive director. We will also be joined by representatives from the city departments that will be presenting before the board this evening. Up front, we have Corey Teague, the zoning administrator representing the planning department, and Joseph Ospital, the senior building inspector with the Department of Building Inspection. The board meeting guidelines are as follows. The board requests that you turn off or silence all phones and other electronic devices so they will not disturb the proceedings. No eating or drinking in the hearing room. Appellants, permit holders, and department respondents are each given 7 minutes to present their case and 3 minutes for rebuttal. People affiliated with these parties must include their comments within these 7 or 3 minute periods. For cases that have been previously been heard, the parties are given 3 minutes each with no rebuttal. Members of the public who are not affiliated with the parties have up to 3 minutes each to address the board and no rebuttal. Time may be limited to 2 minutes if the agenda is long or if there are a large number of speakers. Mr. Longway, our legal assistant, will give you verbal warning 30 seconds before your time is up. Since we have a vacancy on the board, 3 votes are required to grant an appeal or to modify a permit or determination. If you have questions about requesting a rehearing, the board rules or hearing schedules, please email board staff at boardofappeals@sfgov.org. Now, public access and participation are of paramount importance to the board. SFGov TV is broadcasting and streaming this hearing live, and we will have the ability to receive public comment for each item on today's agenda. SFGov TV is also providing closed captioning for this meeting. To watch the hearing on TV, go to SFGov TV, cable channel 78. Please note that it will be rebroadcast on Fridays at 4 p.m. on channel 26. A link to the live stream is found on the homepage of our website at sfgov.org/BOA. Now, public comment can be provided in 3 ways, 1 in person, 2 via Zoom, or 3 by telephone. To appear via Zoom, please go to our website and under the calendar link, click on today's date and then click on the Zoom link for hearing in the blue rectangular box. If you want to attend by telephone, call 1-669-900-9128 and enter webinar ID 975-9512-4174. And again, SFGov TV is broadcasting and streaming the phone number and access instructions across the bottom of the screen if you're watching the live stream or broadcast. To block your phone number when calling in, first dial *67, then the phone number. Listen for the public comment portion for your item to be called and dial *9, which is the equivalent of raising your hand so that we know you want to speak. You will be brought into the hearing when it is your turn. You may have to dial *6 to unmute yourself. You will have 3 minutes. Our legal assistant will provide you with a verbal warning 30 seconds before your time is up. Please note there is a delay between the live proceedings and what is broadcast and live streamed on TV and the internet. Therefore, it is very important that people calling in reduce or turn off the volume on their TVs or computers. Otherwise, there is interference with the meeting. If any of the participants or attendees on Zoom need a disability accommodation or technical assistance, you can make a request in the chat function to Alec Longway, the board's legal assistant, or send an email to boardofappeals@sfgov.org. Now, the chat function cannot be used to provide public comment or opinions. Please note that we will take public comment first from those members of the public who are physically present in the hearing room. Now we will swear in or affirm all those who intend to testify. Please note that any member of the public may speak without taking an oath pursuant to their rights under the Sunshine Ordinance. If you intend to testify at any of tonight's proceedings and wish to have the board give your testimony evidentiary weight, raise your right hand and say, "I do," after you've been sworn in or affirmed. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay, thank you. If you are a participant and you're not speaking, please put your Zoom speaker on mute. So, as a preliminary matter, President Trizvino has an announcement.
Thank you, Ms. Lamar, and good evening, everyone. We are usually 5 members. We have 1 member who is... Who resigned earlier this year, so that leaves us at 4. One of my colleagues is unavoidably absent and out of town today, and we have just discovered that there may be a potential issue related to recusal. So we are unable to move forward on 2 of the items on the agenda tonight, and I will reschedule those two items. They'd be item four involving Jessica Myrick and Mesmet Ozbek, and item six regarding the appeals by CPH 564 and BCAL 44 Montgomery Property. I apologize for those, for anybody who has come to the meeting tonight to have those matters heard. We need to work out the issue of the potential or actual recusal. If we have that recusal, if we resolved it tonight, we would be down to two commissioners being able to hear the matter, so which would not be a sufficient number. So we will move those matters to a later agenda. And Ms. Lamar, are we able to work out new dates tonight?
Yes, I understand that both parties are available for the 589-591 Connecticut Street, December 10th. So we can reschedule that item to December 10th. And I notified the parties for the 570 Market Street appeals this afternoon that we would be moving the matters to December 17th. And I didn't hear back that that was a problem from anyone. So let me see, is there a hand raised? Oh, okay. Apparently the video is not on Zoom, Alec. Someone put a comment in. So I understand that the 570 Market Street parties can attend December 17th. So we will reschedule that matter to that date.
Right. And I ask, is this subject to public comment?
No, there's no action being taken at this
right.
time.
All right.
So
thank you. And I appreciate the patience and the indulgence of any of the people involved on this matter from the government end as well as from the parties who are contesting items 4 and 6A and 6B. We will proceed at the appropriate time to item 5. That will be the only matter that's before us.
Okay, and thank you to the parties, and we're sorry for any inconvenience this caused. So you're free to leave. We are now moving on to item number 1. This is general public comment. This is an opportunity for anyone who would like to speak on a matter within the board's jurisdiction, but that is not on tonight's calendar. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda? I don't see anyone in the room, and no hands are raised on Zoom. So we'll move on to item number 2, commissioner comments and questions.
I think we can proceed to the next item.
Okay. We are now moving on to item number 3, the adoption of the minutes. Commissioners, before you for discussion of possible adoption are the minutes of the November 5th, 2025 meeting. And note, prior to the hearing, President Trisvino reached out to me and requested a non-substantive amendment to the language in item 6. The purpose of this amendment is for ease of reading and clarity. More specifically, on line 3, he would like to remove the words, quote, which would have, end quote, and replace them with the word to. So the sentence flows more smoothly.
Thank you, Ms. Lamar, and I move to adopt the minutes of the November 5th, 2025 meeting as revised.
Okay, is there any public comment on this motion? Anyone on Zoom? I don't see anyone. So we have a motion from President Trisvina to adopt the minutes as amended. On that motion, Commissioner Saroyan?
Yes.
Commissioner Swig?
Aye.
That motion carries 3-0, and the minutes are adopted as amended. So we are now moving on to item number 5. And this is appeal number 25-036, Teamsters Local 665 versus the zoning administrator, subject property 1942 and 1960 Folsom Street, appealing the issuance on August 19, 2025 to DD Holdings A, LLC of a letter of determination. The request seeks determinations by the zoning administrator on 1, the proposed land use of the existing warehouse building. The proposed business would use the existing warehouse to create, test, and refine an autonomous delivery system, including assembling and maintenance of drones and drone technology. Accessory office space and break rooms would also be located within the existing warehouse for employees. And 2, a determination of laboratory uses, inclusion of outdoor testing of autonomous aerial delivery systems. Drone testing would be conducted on the outside off-street parking lot between the hours of 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. The zoning administrator determined that the proposed use is a laboratory use as defined in Planning Code Section 102, and that laboratory use is principally permitted at the subject location. This is record number 2025-005, 253. And President Trisvina, as a preliminary matter, is it necessary for our representative from DBI to remain here for this matter, since it's primarily a planning department issue?
I haven't seen any DBI-related issues in the briefing, and I don't believe that's necessary. I believe this is all on the zoning administrator.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy your night off. So we will hear from the appellants first, and I understand there's representatives from the Teamsters here. Welcome. You have 7 minutes.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Mark Gleason. I'm here on behalf of the appellate, which is Tony DeLoria, who's the executive officer of Teamsters 665. And I'll read the prepared remarks. The item in front of you is our appeal of an August 19, 2025 letter of determination that concluded that flying drones in open areas of a property is permitted as a laboratory use under the property's zoning designation. While we appreciate the difficult job the zoning administrator has being the umpire on reviewing proposed uses and determining where they fit in the planning code, we do not believe that the laboratory land use designation was ever intended to include the outdoor flying activities of privately owned drones. While we did not submit a brief in support of our appeal, we can make it simple for the Board of Appeals. The LOD requestor makes the point themselves that laboratory use in the PDR zone implies very limited to no outdoor activities, and that lab activities are to be generally conducted indoors. This is common sense. In contrast, the proposed use is at the very essence an outdoor flying activity to develop a food delivery system by small AV aircraft. This is the heart of the proposed use here, and that activity is entirely outdoors. We don't think that lab uses with the outdoor buzz of outdoor autonomous drones is appropriate. We think of indoor analysis such as the planning code examples of chemistry, biochemistry, analytical laboratory, engineering laboratory, development laboratory, biological laboratories. The zoning administrator and the LOD requisitor both gloss over the fact that the primary purpose of the use and the majority of the activity of the proposed use is flying drones to simulate delivery of food entirely outdoors. This is hardly what one thinks of as laboratory use. The specter of unregulated drones being a permitted laboratory use has caused such great concern that the Board of Supervisors is now considering interim zoning controls to make all laboratory use a conditional use in a PDR-1-G zoning designation. This legislation is in direct response to the fact that the LOD being discussed here tonight so broadly concluded that flying drones around outdoors can be classified as a laboratory use and now will require greater Board of Supervisors scrutiny. With that, we urge the Board of Appeal to determine that the zoning administrator erred here in finding that the flying of drones outdoors is a laboratory use. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will now hear from the determination holder.
Good evening, President Trisvina and commissioners. My name is Megan Jennings. I'm here on behalf of the determination holder, DoorDash Labs. We respectfully ask that you uphold the zoning administrator's letter of determination and deny the appeal tonight. The issue before you is really narrow. Did the zoning administrator err in determining that limited outdoor drone testing is permitted as part of a broader laboratory use in the PDR 1G district? We believe the answer is clearly no. The determination is fully supported by the planning code, by precedent, and the intent of the PDR zoning. So the property in question is developed with a warehouse and gated outdoor yard area that has been used previously for robotics research and development. DoorDash Labs intends to use it for R&D for autonomous delivery systems. Despite the appellant's characterization, the majority of the use that we're talking about in this space is actually indoors and is not focused on outdoor drone testings. However, they will conduct limited testing of drones and infrastructure in the parking area, which a company representative will discuss in more detail at the end of the presentation. And the reason we sought the determination in the first place was because we were confident about the lab determination for the use itself, but wanted to be transparent and have clarity about the outdoor uses. So, as you know, the appellant didn't file a brief and hasn't, in advance of this hearing, provided any legal or factual support for their claims. So before tonight, all we have heard is that the outdoor drone testing is not part of a laboratory use and that the testing actually supports a parcel delivery or retail use. Neither of these claims withstands scrutiny, especially given the standard of review that we're talking about tonight. As you know, the ZA's determination can be overturned only if there's an error or an abuse of discretion. And here we believe that the ZA did not err or abuse his discretion in classifying the proposed use as laboratory. The ZA has consistently found that similar R&D activities, including for robotics and autonomous vehicle systems, qualify as laboratory uses. We included several of those examples in our brief. And DoorDash Labs' proposal is directly in line with those precedents. The activity that we're talking about at the site is really R&D. It is not commercial delivery. The commercial delivery is distinct from R&D for the technology that we're talking about, just like an engineering lab for automotive uses is different from an auto repair shop or a car dealership. And here we recognize that future commercial deployment of any technology would be subject to separate approvals, but it's simply not part of this request. We also believe the ZA did not commit an error and acted within his discretion in finding that the laboratory use allows for limited outdoor testing. The planning code has many examples of uses that are required to be conducted entirely indoors, either in all locations or certain locations. Laboratory is not one of those uses. And the PDR 1G district does not prohibit all outdoor activities either. The appellant mentioned language in the zoning code that he said uses in this district were intended to be conducted primarily indoors. He's actually referring to a different zoning district, PDR 1B, and not the PDR 1G district that we're talking about here. In fact, you know, many permitted uses in this zone do operate at least partly outdoors. And we believe that occasional controlled outdoor drone testing is consistent with those kinds of activities and fits squarely within the zone's purpose of supporting innovation and production. Before I close, I want to acknowledge the letter submitted by neighbors regarding the proposed operations. And we don't believe those points are directly related to the topic of the appeal, but we are available to answer questions that pertain to the appeal. DoorDash does intend to continue conducting outreach to neighbors and wants to be a good neighbor moving forward. So in conclusion, before I turn it over, to reiterate, we believe the ZA acted squarely within his authority. The planning code supports the interpretation, as does precedent. And so we respectfully ask that the board deny the appeal tonight. I'm now going to turn it over to Jim O'Sullivan, who is the head of drone strategy, for DoorDash, to talk a little bit more about the proposed activities on site. Jim?
Thanks. Good evening. My name is Jim O'Sullivan, head of drone strategy for DoorDash. DoorDash Labs intends to use the property for research and development of delivery systems. This would include limited testing of drone systems in the yard, which would happen intermittently during business hours. The goal here is not to test flight operations, but how drones interact with ground infrastructure in varying real-world conditions. Flights would be limited in time and frequency and would stay within the property boundaries. Operations would comply with all FAA regulations, which includes keeping drones within the operator's line of sight and comply with all state privacy rules. Safety is and will always be a top priority for DoorDash Labs. Any drones flown at this site will have been extensively tested and vetted at a remote site. DoorDash is excited to bring this innovation hub to the mission and will work hard to be a good neighbor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We do have a question from President Trezvenia.
Thank you for both your presentations. It's notable that you describe the operations as limited and the Teamsters representative describes them as primary. Can you be more specific as to, and your colleague was more specific in terms of some of it, so he addressed some of my question. So how high do the drones go?
So there's a maximum height of 150 feet. My understanding is that a lot of the operations are going to stay closer to the ground because, again, the intent is really to test the interaction with infrastructure on the ground. Mm-hmm. It's not about, flying them around the property.
Okay. Can you tell me whether there's a height limitation on construction in this
I'm sure area? There is a height limitation on construction, and I don't know off the top of my head what it is. I'd be happy to look that up, unless the zoning administrator knows.
Okay. I'm sure he does. And as you say, the drones are flying on or above the property.
Yes, but within the property plane, and not in the public right of way, not over other neighboring properties.
Right, but can you understand and appreciate the concern of neighbors about privacy? We have a lot of cases all the time about decks. Not that the deck is built on somebody else's property, but that people can see into it from their property.
Yeah, understood. And I'll address this to the best of my ability. And Jim, if you think I've missed anything, please step in. DoorDash is not out collecting data for purposes of spying on people or anything like that. To the extent that there is camera footage, it is really related to the safe operation of the drones. And any storage or use of data that's collected is in compliance with all state. Privacy is really regulated at the state level for aerial operations. And so that is the regulatory framework that we would look at.
Okay. My last question goes to something you both said about you intend to continue to be a good neighbor. And it's regrettable that there was no brief filed by the appellants, but have you reached out to the appellants to understand and hear their concerns?
My understanding is that there was no direct outreach because in the absence of a brief, the determination holder wasn't sure what they really wanted to focus on.
And nobody at the DoorDash company thought to ask them?
I don't know.
Well, can your colleague tell me?
Caitlin, is there anything you want to add? Sorry.
Hi, good evening. I work at DoorDash. I'm on the legal team at DoorDash. We have, I know there's been some public engagement. I don't believe it's been directly with the teams in outreach to the Teamsters.
Okay.
But I know there's been public outreach with other neighborhood organizations, and we have some letters in support that were submitted, I believe, on behalf of DoorDash Labs.
Well, we haven't seen letters in support, I don't believe. We got a letter from CAIE 24. We got a letter from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Are those groups that you have reached out to on this issue?
There were, I believe, 4 or 5 letters of support included in your packet. I can pull up who those were from. But yes, those were all groups, including the Mission Merchants Association that DoorDash conducted outreach to. And I will just say that I think because we saw this as really a true legal issue, it seemed appropriate to resolve it at the Board of Appeals. So that's where we are.
Well, if you have watched our hearings, you might have heard my colleagues, all of us, talk about the importance of communications with neighbors. And I don't think one precludes the other. But I just wanted to get a sense. As you described, you did reference and recognize the concerns of the community in your presentation. You talked about intending to continue to be a good neighbor. I just wanted to get a sense as to what that was, because as you started and as I started my questions, a lot of this seems to go around one party calls it limited activity, the other one calls it primary, and that's ultimately something we're going to have to decide, and we're going to hear from the zoning administrator. So that's why I wanted to really emphasize the importance of communication. Thank you.
Understood.
Thank you. Can the legal counsel for DoorDash fill out a speaker card just so we have your name for the minutes, please? It's just
of
to
course.
The right. Alec, can you point to her? It's just to the right of the podium. Thank you. Okay. Great. Thank you. I'm sorry, the time is up, I believe. You'll have time in rebuttal if you're with DoorDash. Okay. We will now hear from the zoning administrator.
All right. Good evening, President Trasvina, commissioners, Corey Teague, zoning administrator with the planning department. First, I want to just, thank the appellant for throwing me a bone and acknowledging, some of the challenges of making these decisions. I do appreciate it. I also want to, state that I feel like the determination holder's brief was a really good brief in terms of really in a lot of detail outlining the rationale around the decision beyond even what was in my brief, and I pretty much agree with everything that they had in their brief. Specifically, this is an appeal of a letter of determination that was issued regarding, it did reference the property at 1942 to 60 Folsom Street, but the real question is not particularly property specific, it really is use specific. Is this use described in the manner in the request? Is it a laboratory use under the planning code? And that's pretty much the only question that is requested. Of course, understanding that and this property and how that's permitted is also covered as well. But it's important to note that this is just a land use determination. This isn't an application to actually establish the use or this facility here. That would be a separate process to establish that use at this site. This really is just the question of, is the use as described in the request a laboratory use, or if not a laboratory use, some other use in the planning code? There is a long history, as was referenced, of prior letters of determination from both myself and the zoning administrator before me, as well as many other conversations with our staff, with applicants, members of the public, other commissions about this concept of what lab entails. And it really is intended to capture, both kind of what people think and kind of beakers and white coats in the typical wet lab type of situation that you might think of maybe more from Mission Bay. But as you'll note in the definition, there's actually many, many different types of laboratories that are called out in the land use. And it includes the kind of bio wet labs that you maybe think of more frequently, but it also includes things like engineering labs and development labs and testing labs. And we have really consistently in the past determined that the general function of R&D, when it is on its own, is a laboratory use. As the determination holder, I think, put pretty well, you can have a business that may have different properties and facilities, maybe in the same city, maybe not, where there are different uses happening. Again, you may have an automotive company, their headquarters downtown is likely an office space. They may have a manufacturing plant somewhere outside the city that's going to be a manufacturing use, et cetera, et cetera. So just because a use as kind of one part of a larger business chain does not mean that the actual use is determined in that way. We really do just look at how is that property proposed to be used on that property to make the land use determination. So I know there was a lot of conversation around the indoor versus outdoor. I think it's really important to note that, as the determination holder mentioned, there's some conversation in the code about like the level that we expect some uses to be indoor versus outdoor, et cetera. But the bottom line is that the planning code for some districts and some uses has very specific prohibitions on them operating outdoors. And if the planning code does not provide that prohibition either for this zoning district or for this use, then it does not exist. So whether the proposal was even only for the vacant lot, right, the parking lot, and not for the indoor lot, it would still be a lab use. There's no prohibition or limitation in the planning code on the operation of a laboratory use outdoors. Again, when we get an application for a laboratory use, we're going to look at all of the factors that go into what's being proposed and determining like what planning code provisions may apply to the use as proposed, and if we feel like there are, you know, additional controls or conditions that need to apply. But in terms of just looking at what is this land use and would it be permitted to operate outdoors, it's pretty clear in the planning code that it would absolutely be permitted to operate outdoors. And as was noted in the determination letter, of course, all other local, state, and federal controls will continue to apply. So if there are concerns about potential noise, we do have a noise ordinance here in the city that would definitely apply. There are reference to state laws regarding privacy, FAA requirements in terms of the actual flight, in terms of paths and height, et cetera, that would be regulated at the federal level. So the local planning code regulation for the land use is kind of one part of the proposed operation here. So with that history, and again, just this is a very narrow determination that's very consistent with similar requests and determinations going back 10 years plus, I do think that the determination was appropriately issued. There was no error or abuse of discretion. The opposite, it was very consistent with how we regularly look at these types of issues for laboratory uses and how we've, you know, ruled in past determinations. And then last but not least, we did mention that this is in the PDR 1G zoning district. There's basically like four PDR districts. I'm happy to get into those details if you want. I'm available for questions for those, of course. But the height limit here for this property is 58 feet, just to answer that question. So if you were going to build a building on this lot or, you know, expand the existing building on the lot, 58 feet would be the maximum height that building could go. But with that, again, respectfully request that the appeal be denied, but I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. We have questions from Commissioner Swig and President Trezvenia.
So I'm going to ask kind of a snarky question first, but I'll get to the serious one second. As you were talking about when these rules and regulations were created, do you think that when these rules and regulations were created that they ever thought there would be drones in the air?
Well, obviously I can't speak to the mindset and the expectations of the Board of Supervisors whenever they, you know, adopted the labs, but I think it's fair to say that if that was considered, it wasn't one of the primary considerations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the things that we face, that we have an evolving world, and sure. You know, who when I was growing up here a long time ago, mm-hmm. The thought that there would be robotic cars and drones in the air, that was something that was in the comic books, and you know what comic books are, they're fantasy. And today, their reality. Getting down to more reality,
Commissioner Swig, excuse me, might you speak a little bit more into the microphone?
Sure.
I'm having a hard time hearing you tonight.
Really? That's a shocking thing. That's the first time.
Thank you.
Thank you. So getting down to the base case, in the city of San Francisco for the last decade or more, we have been... we see it on the streets. When Google was doing Google Earth and all the related stuff, we had there were labs, I am sure. I don't know where they were, but I sure saw a lot of cars that were at Google on them, and they were making shots of buildings as they were mapping out the city. And then the next thing we saw were all these robot cars that were wandering around the city doing whatever they were doing that ultimately resulted in now primarily Waymo having robo cars running around the city. How did planning deal with those labs, and when those labs, were they labs, number one? Two, when those labs resulted in the need for a testing, how did planning deal with cars wandering around the city making photos of buildings and other structures, or cars running around the city trying to figure out whether a car could drive without a driver?
Sure. I'll try to address all of that. One, like, you're absolutely correct. I mean, San Francisco is what it is, right? There are a lot of companies that are very forward-thinking. A lot of things are tested here in San Francisco, and that's always something we're working with from a government perspective. On the Google Street View cars, I'm not aware of any facility in the city that was ever proposed to specifically house and operate those vehicles for that purpose. Not to say that it didn't exist somewhere in the city, but I'm not aware of that. The actual activities you're referring to, though, them driving around and taking pictures, obviously is not happening on a property. That's happening on the streets, very similar to autonomous vehicles, and that's not under the purview of the planning code. If they were going to have a facility for those vehicles, what the land use determination would be very specific to how are they using that facility. Is it just a facility to park those vehicles, or is it actually a facility where they are doing research, R&D, testing, et cetera? So that's a good transition into the autonomous vehicles. One of the previous letters of determination that the determination holder provided as an exhibit to their brief is one facility where it was an AV company doing essentially development and testing, and that was determined to be a laboratory use. But again, that's for the work and activities that are happening on the property. The operation of those vehicles on the street is outside the purview of the planning code. Does that answer?
So
question.
I think where I'm getting at, one, have there been labs in the city where things are being developed that are technology driven, and like all good labs, you got to test them somewhere. Mm-hmm. So how was that? How many labs have existed in the technology world, or in any world, in any of the sectors where a testing has to occur, and the testing has occurred on city streets? Or now that's moving from ground to, you know, 53 feet off the ground or whatever we were just told those things will go to.
And I think the distinction there is, where is the prototyping, where is development, where is testing occurring? If it's occurring on the property, then all things being equal, you know, that's going to be a laboratory use. If it's just a facility that parks vehicles and then those vehicles leave the property and do testing within the public right-of-way, then that's not going to be a laboratory use, because the question is, how is the private property being used? Not, again, what is the larger business model or what is happening off the property?
So
it's really
what
focused
we are evaluating here. So what you're saying is I'm one about precedent setting. Mm-hmm. This would not be a precedent-setting situation where a vehicle, which in this case happens to fly in the air, is being developed and tested within a building as a lab.
I would say, in principle, this isn't precedent-setting. This isn't new. I mean, obviously, the drone issue is a new thing, because drones, relatively speaking, at this level, is a newer technology. The concept of a development lab, which is one of the types of labs, I mean, I think that does foresee that there is prototyping. You are developing new technologies, new products, new things. So the development of products and services, et cetera, is a specific type of kind of prototyping and development lab that is included in the lab definition. And we've had that, there have been many other examples of that.
So it's not precedent setting, it's not new, it's been done before. And so it just so happens that the testing's, when the testing happens, it's going to be up in the air directly above the property. That's the only big deal difference. And as you said, that falls under a different jurisdiction, correct? Where it might be the FAA, it might be the police department or whatever jurisdiction that measures sound issues. But the idea that there is a lab situation that involves a vehicle is not new to the city, and therefore this is an appropriate letter of determination. Is that
correct? Again, like the really key distinction here that I'll probably keep harping on is that the question in this LOD and before the board tonight is not, is this an appropriate use at this location pursuant to the way it's proposed to be operated? Right, that's a separate question. There's a whole permitting process to go through if they want to establish this here. The question here is just, if we are located on this property and we operate in this way, is it a laboratory use? And would that be, you know, as a use, would that be permitted on the site?
So,
and from that perspective, it is very straightforward that this is a laboratory use, indoor and outdoor, and that a laboratory use in this district is a principally permitted use.
Right, so if whether it's a... let's just switch it and say if this was the next version of a Waymo-like company and they were developing in a lab situation their next version of Robocar, this would be an appropriate use. That would still be a lab use.
Right.
And therefore it would be a lab use. Is this appropriate? That's what we're finding. And in your view, it would be appropriate and therefore...
Well, I think that's what I... The level of, is it a, the question of, is this an appropriate use and project for this site is not the question before the board tonight, because that's not the question. The question in the determination is purely just based on the information provided, what land use definition would it fall under, which was determined to be laboratory use. And then is that use permitted at this site, which laboratory use is objectively a principally permitted use in this zoning district.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. President Trezvina.
Thank you for your educational brief as well as the presentation. It actually raises more questions with me, and I don't want to use this time to get into my discussion with my colleagues. I will do my best to limit my questions to questions. Can you describe for us what it is the Board of Supervisors is considering with regard to this issue? It was alluded to that the board is looking at changes. Are you familiar with what the board is discussing?
Sure. So I believe it was last week. So not yesterday, but the Tuesday before, I believe, that Supervisor Fielder initiated proposed interim controls, which would require a conditional use authorization with some specific findings for new laboratory uses within the PDR 1G zoning district. So that proposal will have to be heard at the board, and if they adopt it as proposed or in some amended fashion, then that would eventually take effect, but that's what they will be considering. But that hasn't been, that's just been introduced at this point. It hasn't been heard at the board.
And with that regard to what language is introduced or ultimately enacted, if it is enacted, how would legislation requiring conditional use affect not so much this property, but your letter of determination? Would the letter of determination be fine for today, but be a different letter of determination in the future, or does it have any effect?
I can confidently say it would have absolutely no effect on the determination.
And with regard to your statement that the use, this is not a question of the appropriate use of the property on your letter of determination, when you did the 111 Taylor letter of determination. It turned on, in part, it turned on the use of the property, as I recall, whether it was a locked facility or other kind of facility. So how does your letter of determination, how do you account for usage in your letter?
So the point I was making there is, again, and maybe I'll back up a little bit, is that, you know, letters of determination aren't like required under the planning code, right? It's an option that people can request. So people request letters of determination for lots of different reasons. I remember 111 Taylor, they had, you know, contractual obligations, state and federal, and they needed that kind of confirmation. In this kind of situation, it's not uncommon for companies or property owners to request this type of determination to get a formal answer on a question to help guide them before they go through the process of applying for applications, signing leases, things of that nature, right? They want to know that they're on the right track and they're understanding the code appropriately. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. So the point I was making is that this LOD was really just focused on those two questions of, what is this land use? Is it a laboratory use? And is a laboratory use permitted at this site? And that's kind of the end of the kind of conversation regarding the LOD. As you know, there are various approvals, permits, et cetera, that may be required to actually establish such a use or build out a use. And that's a separate process for actually applying the code, applying any other, you know, design or other policy guidelines we may have. And that question comes before you often of, like, even if this property permits this kind of building development or this addition for this property, the appellant may feel it's not appropriate for different reasons or doesn't meet, you know, some other aspect of the, you know, the general plan or something like that. But that's all separate in that process. At this point, we have kind of limited details on what the actual proposal would be kind of physically and operationally if they move forward here at this site. This is really just a narrow question regarding kind of the designation of the use itself and if that use is permitted at the site.
Well, thank you for that. That's helpful. One final question. Does your letter of determination depend upon the question of whether this is a limited use of the air or primary use of the air of the testing of the drones? Does that question matter to the determination?
The short answer is no. Is part of what I alluded to earlier. I will say that the outdoor, I mean, I definitely don't want to sound like we didn't really take seriously the concept of, you know, the outdoor nature of this, because we did, and we triple checked the planning code to see that there were any, you know, anything that would prohibit or limit the outdoor nature of this lab use on this site, because we understand that was unique to their proposal. And the bottom line is that there isn't anything in the planning code that would limit it. So that's why I was saying earlier, even if this proposal was purely outdoor, there's nothing in the planning code to prohibit that. Again, you can go through the project approval process and maybe some things, you know, work out through that. But in terms of just what the planning code allows or prohibits, that wouldn't change the answer that it's a laboratory use and it is principally permitted at this site. And if you'll allow me just to go back a little bit, I want to clarify, you know, if the interim controls that were proposed go through and get adopted, they will not affect the determination, because it doesn't change the definition of what a lab is, and that's really the question here. But I would say if that did go forward and require this for a lab use, but this isn't a lab use, then it's not going to have any impact on this property going forward. If there was a determination by the board that this is not a lab use, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Commissioner Saroyan.
Good evening, Mr. Teague. Thank you so much. So just in reviewing the materials submitted by the permit holder, or I'm sorry, the letter of determination holder, it seems to me that the analysis that autonomous vehicle entities, whether it was Cruise, Neo, Samsara with their sensors, and Embark with some of their autonomous. Mm-hmm. Similarly, you've allowed laboratory use and made letters of determination in the past. Would you say that's
correct? I mean, I think this kind of gets to the point that we came up earlier.
Yes.
We never know what kind of new technologies are going to be being proposed and worked through and what kind of laboratory needs are going to be.
Yes.
So the definition is definitely not that specific. But because we are kind of at the forefront of a lot of these technologies in San Francisco, we get these examples where someone okay. comes in and they do want this letter of determination to make sure,
right.
like, this is what we're doing. We are a lab use, right? And there are many of examples which were included in
okay.
the briefs.
So then let's take it to the next step, which is this letter of determination different because it adds an additional element of autonomous drones as part of the scope of the property use?
I mean, it's only different in the sense that obviously what's being proposed is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's drones, there's the outdoor component. I don't know that any prior determination has looked at that issue specifically.
Okay.
But the fundamental determination and the rationale for the determination is exactly the same as the other ones.
So you didn't necessarily look at this differently because of the proposal for use with autonomous drones? Or you did and came to the same conclusion?
I'm saying obviously we looked at that, and that's a feature of this request that is different than
yes.
the prior request.
Right.
But essentially the planning code, though, provided no different guidance on that issue. Right. It's still fundamentally this is a laboratory use, and as we mentioned, there's no control saying you can't operate a laboratory use outdoors. So that's where, like, fundamentally the decision was the same, but just acknowledging that everything that comes before us is a little different,
sure.
whether it's like
sure.
advanced robotics, whether it's autonomous vehicles,
okay.
whether it's, you know, drones, et cetera.
So in essence, in the absence of guidance or restrictions or regulations about autonomous drones, that you've determined that the use is permissible.
Yeah, it is still by definition a laboratory use, and that is a principally
okay.
permitted use. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure, no problem.
Commissioner Swig?
Yeah, so breaking it down, instead of DoorDash, DoorDash Industries, this could be DoorDash Agricultural, and they're developing hybrid tomatoes. And oh, by the way, they're going to be growing hybrid tomatoes after they do their testing in the lab or developing that, they're going to be growing those hybrid tomatoes in the back parking lot. Same thing, and somebody comes along and says, I don't think that building should be used as for a lab use. Is this the same thing? I mean, is it that simple? It's really this building is being used as a lab, the back parking lot is being used as a testing site, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing hybrid tomatoes or drones, it's the same thing. Is it this building appropriate as a lab?
Right. And you're correct. Like, the definition of laboratory does not dictate or prohibit any particular variations, right, or products or technologies. It's a broad definition that covers many different types of labs. And to your point, if it's a lab, it's a lab, whether you're working on advanced robotics or agricultural R&D, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's just a little sexier today that we're dealing with drones instead of hybrid tomatoes. Yeah?
In the eye of the beholder, sure.
Huh?
I said that's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, it's the same thing. Is this building okay as a lab? Bottom line. Hybrid tomatoes or drones in the back, testing drones that go 50 feet in the air or 150 feet in the air, or growing tomatoes in the back, which are a result of the lab testing that's being done in the building. Same thing?
Sure. You could have, there can be many, many different flavors of laboratory use.
That's what I'm getting at. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Thank you.
We are now moving on to public comment. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public comment? And after you're done, if you could fill out a speaker card so we get your name correct. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Hannah Haber. I'm a resident of the block that this lot is on. I've actually had no contact from DoorDash. I actually only found out about this a few weeks ago when I received a postcard in the mail from the Board of Appeals about this hearing that actually also said that there was no company name stated. So I found out today when the Mission Local article named DoorDash. So it was interesting to hear that they want to continue being a good neighbor, and I'd love to have contact with them to talk about this. Laboratories, I think, by definition, imply indoor usage, and outdoor usage is usually field work. And the outdoor use that they're looking at is a parking lot, which is presumably used to park cars. The testing that they talked about on the postcard that I received was Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., so presumably 45 hours of the week they would be testing drones up to 150 feet. And the impact of the noise on the entire block, I think, would be pretty high, and that's something that I would be concerned about as the person living on that block. I think Waymo and Cruise are really excellent examples of outdoor testing that has had negative impacts on our neighborhood. We've seen Cruise, who now is not even in operation because they dragged a person 40 feet before stopping, and Waymo, who recently ran over a beloved neighborhood cat. And I'm just curious, with this rezoning, if DoorDash is allowed to use these drones, how will they be accountable if there's equipment malfunctions? I'm also concerned with the cameras and collecting data. I understand it's not a surveillance, but as someone living there, it's like you can see into our windows, you can see into our backyards, you can take photos of people on the street. And while that's not the primary usage of those images, I think it's worth noting that that's another impact on the people who are actually living and experiencing this change. The robotic usage in that parking lot was not aerial, so I think it's like irrelevant to what they're talking about. And you know, the mission specifically has faced the brunt of technology testing, and I just would like the Board of Appeals to consider like why this neighborhood is always at the forefront of like all of this new technology and like not addressing the people who are living there and the concerns that they have.
30 seconds.
I think I'll end there, but thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment in the room? Okay, I see someone's hand raised on Zoom. Will the caller whose phone number ends in 939 go ahead, please? 8939? You need to, yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Eric Arguello, and I'm the president and founder of Caivicua Latino Culture District. And I just want to go on record that there has been no outreach to CAI 24. There has not been any outreach also to the Hispanic Chamber. I spoke to them a couple of days ago, and they have not heard from them. So this is very concerning. It's a very large company, you know, DoorDash moving into the neighborhood without really doing extensive outreach, which I think is very necessary for this type of production. We are asking you to uphold the appeal by the Teamsters. We need to protect blue-collar jobs and PDR spaces. We have lost hundreds of square footage of PDR space due to the tech industry moving into the neighborhood, like the neighbor just mentioned. And we ask that you, you know, when the definition is so narrow that it should at least the administrator side with the intention of PDR and its history, preserving PDR space and blue-collar jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please repeat your name for the record?
Sure. It's Eric Arguello.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Is there any further public comment? I don't see any hands raised, so we're going to move on to rebuttal, and we'll hear from the appellants. You have 3 minutes to address the board.
Thank you, commissioners. I first want to state what we're asking for here, and I want to repeat something, then, of course, get into the rest of it. We urge the Board of Appeal to determine that the zoning administrator erred here in finding that flying drones outdoors is a laboratory use. The presentation here included the idea that these flying drones, which were indeed not anticipated by the planning code, because who would have in the recent past, anticipated these flying drones. Now, There is a co-author, or if you will, I'm using that word loosely, for the legislation that's coming up. There's Supervisor Fielder. There's also Supervisor Walton, by my understanding. These are both blue-collar working-class neighborhoods that are highly dense. If a large company like DoorDash really needed to understand how to manage drones that they're going to use to deliver food and other items, well, in one sense, you could say that they could just go to a large field and go from a bush to a rock and figure this all out. But the fact is, just like the analogous idea of what happened to our city with Waymo and the other autonomous vehicles, the fact is there's a version of mapping that has to go on as well with drones. And the drones and the people who are operating them have to figure out how to get cartons of whatever it is that they're going to deliver in the near future through dense neighborhoods. And that's exactly why this ask is here today before all of us. San Franciscans saw what happened when their streets were turned into a laboratory. And now, apparently as well, our skies will too. And they're going to be taking places in very dense neighborhoods because that's where the commerce that is predicted by DoorDash is going to happen in the near future. Now, I understand that. We're for commerce as well. We're a trade union, and we want working people to have jobs going forward. But we also believe that the people of San Francisco, and frankly, I would submit any dense urban area, should at least have something to say about something before things start flying about them. And indeed, you know, when commercial use of drones is used in films, there's regulations. And I would say, I would think that that's probably what we need to have here as well. There needs to be some very severe regulations. I imagine that a couple of supervisors, and I imagine more, are trying to answer their constituents' concerns about this right now. And it will happen. But today we ask that you deny this, this ask, if you will. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. We'll now hear from the determination holder. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. The first thing I'd like to do is just state clearly what I believe is not at issue here, and that is the core determination of whether the proposed use in the building is a laboratory use. We haven't heard any testimony. We didn't get any briefing that suggests that the core use determination was incorrect. So I just want to, again, clearly state that what we're talking about here is really the outdoor piece. So with respect to the outdoor testing of drones, I do think it's important just to pick apart some of the concerns and, again, emphasize that what we're talking about is really early stage research and development that will be on the site. We're not talking at this stage about zooming around the city. That would be the subject of a whole other conversation and permitting process. And it's actually notable that the city doesn't currently regulate drones per se, private use of drones as a land use. There are restrictions on using drones in public parks, but otherwise it's not something that is separately regulated as a land use. So we believe we're in this area where the zoning administrator had the ability to exercise discretion, and we do believe that that was appropriately exercised here, and the appellant hasn't shown differently. I do understand the concern about 45 hours a week of operations. We were really just trying to state the outside hours during which outdoor testing could occur. The intent is certainly not to have 45 hours a week of drone testing, and I do believe that will come through in the specific permit application. And last on that point, with respect to outreach, I just think it's important to emphasize that because this really was intended to be an early stage zoning clearance matter, it wasn't a specific project application. The outreach may not be as advanced as, you know, some may hope, but that doesn't mean it isn't going to occur. And Victor, did you want to come up and say anything about outreach efforts? Okay, great. And if you could just introduce yourself.
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, Victor Ruiz Cornejo, public engagement, head of public engagement for the West for DoorDash. I think in addition to the five organizations that wrote letters of support, including the Mission Merchants, we did also speak to the Women's Building about this and Carnaval SF. You know, again, we wanted to just lay the groundwork for this, for us being there, and then offer up later things like tours and come and check out our site. We did also reach out to the district supervisor, Supervisor Fielder, and Supervisor Raphael Mandelman and Matt Dorsey, since their districts are very close there. But we look forward to doing more of that outreach as well.
Thank you. Can you please fill out a speaker card too? Thanks.
Thank you. So in conclusion, again, we don't believe that the appellant has met the burden of showing a clear error in interpretation or an abuse of discretion in this this really pure land use interpretation matter tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't see any questions. You can be seated. We'll now hear from the zoning administrator.
Right, thank you again, President Trasvina, Commissioners Corey Teague, Zoning Administrator. I was going to raise maybe some of the same points that the determination order did, which is, again, this is no applications to actually move forward with this project have been filed yet. I mean, I don't know what the projected timelines may be, but again, this LOD typically in these types of scenarios is a very preliminary step just to make sure things are going to line up so that you can move forward with a project application. So they spoke to that. They spoke to outreach. I'm not going to move into that anymore. And I also just want to be clear that, again, the LOD is very specific to the technical questions and answering the technical questions. It takes no position on, you know, the appropriateness of that use at that site beyond whether it's permitted or not. It also takes no position on the specific company either. It's very neutral on there. It's really focused at just answering the questions that were requested. And then I also agree with the determination holder that it does seem like, from the appellant's perspective, the key issue is the outdoor operation. And again, the letter of determination was, you know, not intending to minimize the concerns that new technologies can present and the issues, which are myriad for drones and drone technology within the city. Of course, all of those issues exist. They're just not relevant to the letter of determination. And on the outdoor issue, again, there is nothing in the planning code that would prohibit this from operating outdoor. And I would just note that both in the appeal filing from the appellant and then tonight, there's really no specific code reference that's been provided to demonstrate where or how the code would prohibit this from being an outdoor use or for the lab to operate in an outdoor manner. Again, that's not being said to minimize the concerns that anyone may have with this kind of technology or this type of use, and specifically for this site, but just purely from a determination perspective of what is the land use and is that use permitted on this site. That's all the LOD focused on, and to that point, I believe it was issued appropriately. But I'm available for any other questions you may have.
Commissioner Swig, then President Trasvina.
So breaking it down really clearly and being redundant, as I have a pattern of behavior to do, the question here is, can we do this here? Not, can we have your permission right now to go out and build this lab right now? Right?
Correct.
Okay. And so all the stuff related to flying drones, noise, community impact, all the other stuff that's going to be, might be dealt with, the communication issues, all that stuff will come later if they choose to follow up on your determination that they can potentially do this in this building on this site. Correct?
So correct.
No permissions are being granted as a result of this hearing tonight. Only, can we do this if we want to? Right?
Correct. Actually, to that point, all of our letters of determination have that specific language at the bottom, which basically says this is not a permit or an authorization to construct anything or to establish a use. Like, this is just essentially answering, making a technical determination. You have to move forward and file those permits and applications separately. So very explicitly, the letter states that it's not an authorization to establish this use or to build anything at all. It's just answering those specific code questions.
So the Teamsters can come back again. If this moves to, can we get a permit? Mm-hmm. Teamsters can come back and appeal this again. If this goes to a permit, the community can make comment on, do we really want this or do we think this stinks, right? And appeals can come out of that area. So this is just the really, really, really beginning of, can this building be used potentially as a, do we, can this be used as a lab? That's right. Really what this is.
Okay. Yeah, is this a lab use, which is yes, and is that use permitted at the site, which is a yes. Again, which approvals are required going forward if they decide to move forward with this project is maybe still a little bit in flux, because right now it does not require conditional use authorization. So if that remains the case and they move forward, then theoretically the appeal options would be back to this board. If the interim controls get adopted and a conditional use authorization is required and they go through that process, then that would be a conditional use authorization process, and the appeal avenue for that is the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, so we should understand the narrow nature of what's being talked about tonight.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. President Trezvina?
Now, not only am I hearing Commissioner Swig's voice, I'm hearing my voice because he has asked many of the questions that I had in mind. In particular, just going back to emphasize this for the people who are here, Ms. Haber made very, very strong, compelling, she has strong, compelling concerns, not only about not being contacted, but by some of the specifics of privacy, et cetera. The Teamsters have raised specific concerns. Mr. Arguello raised specific concerns. Can you tell me what forum, what next steps would you have in front of you, and where they would make those concerns? It would be on a permit for what, or an application for what?
Sure. So I haven't done an extensive analysis of the existing property and existing land uses, because that's not what was in front of us. But theoretically, to establish a new use, you're going to need a planning authorization, first and foremost. Again, if the interim controls pass, then it may also require a conditional use authorization. And if ultimately what they're proposing is either a change of occupancy and or is doing any other physical work that would require a building permit, then a building permit would also be required. So it kind of it's a little bit in flux and kind of depends on what they actually apply for. But eventually there will be one or more applications of some form to actually establish the use, build out the space, et cetera. And the processes around those applications are definitely the appropriate form for all of these concerns.
Great. And given the extraordinary nature of this, most of those are not going to be over the counter, correct?
It's probably unlikely.
Yeah. Great, great. The other question I had is, in your letter, I read it says, drone testing conducted outdoors would be included within the laboratory use. So as I read that language, and obviously it's not the entire letter, but I would say that lab use now, we, the city, are now sanctioning drone testing outdoors as labs. Is that correct?
Well, we are saying that that if you are basically doing a kind of prototyping and development lab facility where you're, again, building out and testing a technology, including drones, then that is essentially going to be a lab use, and that's, you know, baseline is permitted in the districts where it's permitted in the planning code.
So the property where you would be doing your testing, your lab is in the sky as well as in the building.
Well, again, that kind of gets to a point where once things are in the air, you start to fall under different regulations than the planning code. The planning code is basically pretty silent on operations of anything airborne.
I realize that, but yep. I think from the Teamster concern was that this letter legitimizes labs not just within the confines of the physical building, but in the air as well. And that's the way I read that sentence. I just want to see if I read it wrong, he read it wrong. And
no, I think the letter does confirm that there's nothing in the planning code that would directly prohibit a laboratory use from operating outdoors, whatever that may be.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. No further questions. Commissioners, this matter is submitted.
Thank you all for this very, very important discussion of a lot of different issues. These are critically important discussion, both from the community as well as from the parties, and obviously from the zoning administrator. These are critically important discussions, but I believe they need to happen in at least three other places. And I'm glad to know, and I'm glad, this is why I asked the zoning administrator, when is the next time, what's the next opportunity for people to come forward to a governmental agency and say, here are our concerns? Could be planning department, it could be the police if they're flying contrary to what they say they're flying, et cetera. And of course, there's a pending matter or soon to be pending matter at the Board of Supervisors. But this discussion needs to happen three places. One is on the second floor of this building, Board of Supervisors, mayor, et cetera. Second is in the community. Very disappointing to hear the description of, oh, we've done outreach, and then to find out that the closest neighbors haven't heard. And that's something that a respected, high-level, cutting-edge company who contributes a lot and creates jobs and does a lot of things for people needs to have a better focus on in terms of moving forward, because there are going to be a lot of proceedings. They may not be here, but I really want to encourage, and if I could insist, I would insist that you start getting on the phone to Mr. Arguello, getting on the phone to the various groups that have raised concerns. You have a good product, it's a matter of showing it to them. The third place where, and reflecting on the testimony, the public comment that was submitted, and thank you for noting that the letters that you did note, I had forgotten that they were there. But some of the letters came and made very clear the community concern that it's a blue-collar community, and the jobs are not being made available or created. That the third place for this discussion is at the school board in the school district. They have to do it a much, much better job of educating the children of all communities to be able to take on these jobs, to get through junior high, high school, and to the kind of preparation, so they can knock on the door and get a job in not just in the delivery part, but in the R&D part, and that's something that's critically important as well. We cannot be the city where we are the world center for high technology and great technology, but the people of our own city can't see their kids in those R&D labs in those positions. So that's a discussion that unfortunately needs to be elsewhere, needs to be at the schools, needs to be at the Board of Supervisors, the mayor, and in the community. For us, for our role is to determine whether the letter of determination, whether the zoning administrator erred or not. And I believe that the limited determination made by the zoning administrator is legally correct, and I would uphold it. Commissioner Swig.
I won't disagree with anything that Commissioner Trevino said, and tonight, however, is very little. It's a very narrow area. Is this building and the parking lot behind it appropriate for a lab use? I've heard nothing that denies that. And with regard to next steps, all those things that Commissioner Trevino just opined on will have its chance to be raised, as if DoorDash chooses, they move to actually develop a lab on this site. But all this little narrow thing that we're talking about tonight is this building appropriate for that lab use? And the letter of determination says yes. I agree that the letter of determination was appropriate, and therefore I make motion to deny the appeal in that the planning department and its letter of determination did not err in its point of view. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Swig. Commissioner Soroy, do you have anything to add?
I concur with Commissioner Swig's motion, so I'm ready for a vote if you are.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion from Commissioner Swig to deny the appeal and uphold the letter of determination on the basis that the zoning administrator did not err in his determination, and it was properly issued. On that motion, President Trezvenia?
Aye.
Commissioner Soroyan?
Aye.
So that motion carries 3-0, and the appeal is denied. And for those folks that have speaker cards, I'd appreciate it if you turn them in to Alec. Thank you.
And we have no further business before the board tonight. We are adjourned.